Hey guys, it's Casey. Kristen and Jen are on the road. So you guys, if you haven't gotten your tickets to the Getaway Tour, oh my goodness, it's such a fun show. Go to imomsohard.com. See if they're coming to a city near you, because if they are, you guys have to go. Grab your tickets, imomsohard.com. And by the way, guys, if you have taken the time to rate, review, subscribe, thank you so, so much. We've been seeing all of your reviews and we really, really appreciate it. It helps the show so much. So thank you so much for taking time to do that. Okay, now, the episode we are going to play today is a little bit of a throwback episode. It's I Cars So Hard. We released it a little over a year ago, but Kristen and Jen love it so much. It's so much fun. We wanted to play it again for you guys today. So without further ado, please enjoy I Cars So Hard.
Big news, Sweeney family 2020. We got a new car. And by new car, I mean a fancy 2016 used Chevy Colorado with a sweet financing deal because of quarantine.
I couldn't tell that. I thought it was brand spanking new. Like, it's a beauty. And can I say that that is the truck that every man dreams of? It's got every bell and whistle on it. It's like got the wider wheels. It's got a little lift to it. It's got like a fancy like lettering package on the side.
Yeah, it sounds like a dating profile. But seriously, when my when my husband drove up, I was like, you might actually get some action tonight. Because might I just remind you what my husband has been driving for the last decade. And here's the truth. It's not the car that I have a problem with. The car has been fantastic. I love this car for how good she's been to us. I feel bad that she's been with my husband for 10 years. I literally feel bad for her. We drove a 2007 RAV4 with a spoiler. And my husband treated it like he was one of those people that live in like a small space. You know, those shows that are like small spaces. Hey, check out my glove compartment. It's also a hot plate.
Yeah, there's like a loft above the passenger seat. Absolutely. For a sleeping nook. Yeah.
And that's what my husband did. And so he transformed this very sweet little family car into a man den that in the console was all of his paperwork. Like literally our tax returns are filed in his console. If you open the back, there are two shower caddies in the back. I'm not kidding, with suction. You know, the little suction cups that you put on the side with like shampoo bottles. And the whole thing smells like a gym bag. So I don't know if he's like homeless guy showering after the gym outside of his RAV4. She doesn't deserve that.
You got to back this up. He's got shampoo and conditioner suctioned to the window of his car.
On the right side, Jen, and on the other side is car cleaning materials. So there, one side he's gonna condition and shampoo, or shampoo and condition, and
does
the other
have,
side
like a travel shower with
he I that's what I'm shower? Saying I think if I look, and then we looked in, okay, so we were getting the car ready to trade it, which we didn't, so we still have it, and we were unpacking the car and he goes, oh, I forgot about my secret space. So he opens this part for the spare tire, which there is no spare tire because we've had the car for so long, we actually use the spare. So he opens this den of confusion, and inside of it is like CDs. It doesn't even have a CD. What is a hole? And it's like the saddest. It's the saddest stack of CDs you've ever seen. He's the only person I know with a Styx CD. Honest to God, he's got, it's all like Zeppelin and Styx. All of it is a beckoning.
Well, they stopped making like CDs after Third Eye Blind or something. So you're really dating yourself if you've got a stack of CDs in your car.
He had a pair of brand new spin shoes, literally have never been worn. I was like, where are you going?
Like that.
I know, it's like a giant mom bag on wheels that it was packed to the gills with like the saddest paraphernalia I've ever seen.
Men do that though, because my dad, like when he passed away and we had to like get everything out of his car, like this could have been like an all-terrain combat vehicle with what he had in there. Like he was ready to take this thing into Nam or something. And I kept finding cash stashed everywhere in it. Like I found like $2,700 in cash stashed all over this minivan that was not even worth half that much.
Like, crap.
It's like, why didn't you just take the van with that cash and get a better van?
Well,
like,
that's what I was worried about with my husband's car. I go, hey, before you go trading that, make sure that you don't have our kids' birth certificates under the wheel well or something. Because, like, I feel like he's got, like, a parakeet in the back or something. I don't know. There's all these secret compartments that he forgot about. And also, there's the booger seat. And I'm not dealing with that at all. I said, you go get that sucker detailed, because I know what you do when you drive. I know what you pick and I know where you wipe it. Now you go get that thing detailed, which is just the most disgusting thing. Again, I'd like to write a letter of apology.
Okay. So when you go, you're like, oh, it's got power seats. Nope. Huge hard booger stuck to the side of the seat. That's the thing though. Like, your husband was so happy driving that car. And men are two ways. Either they have to have a really nice, like, fancy car that sort of like defines them, or they just don't care. And we grew up with cars where nobody cared. My dad drove cars into the ground. Like,
please tell me about the car you had. I don't want to bring up a sad time, but it makes me laugh really hard when you talk about your parents' divorce. Is that a weird thing to say?
I have said before, and I stand by it, that I feel like this station wagon that we had was like a major piece of their divorce, their like marital disagreements, all like centered around this Dodge Aspen, which I don't know if anybody remembers that. Somebody had, like, everybody had some version of this. It was like, I think it was like a 1978 or something. And there was a Plymouth version, the Plymouth Volare, which is funny because my husband had it. It was like the sister, you know, like the same auto family, which is hilarious because both of our dads are really cheap. They bought the exact same car, just like different makes of that car.
Amazing.
But like the second it was driven off the lot, it was the most unreliable car ever. And my mom had two toddlers and she's like at the grocery store stranded like all the time. And it like wouldn't get her out of the parking lot all the time. And it was only 3 years old. It's not like it was 100 years old.
Yeah.
It was a brand new car and it didn't work. It was
I think there is some thought to like, hold one second. Is that our children jumping on whatever furniture we told them to? I don't know how much you can bribe your children to be quiet, but whatever we gave them, which might have been a Walt Disney World vacation, is not enough. Please don't yell at them. We're rolling.
Yeah, ours is, they're going to come in any second for sure.
Well, I got to tell you, we've had them upstairs. And sidebar, the stuff they're watching right now, it's like we're in the dark zone of choices. They're into these weird like anime cartoons. And the truth is, can't care right now. But anyway, I like.
No, mine are getting dumber. I understand. It is not what I intended as a parent, but they are watching some really dumb stuff. And you're like, okay, well, you've earned this. You did homeschool for the day, so you can watch garbage.
We did part homeschool for the day, if I'm going to be honest. I was like, I just need you guys to watch your screens for 3 hours while we record a podcast.
See,
look at
fair.
That.
Yeah.
Back to your car.
Okay.
We were talking about cars breaking down, but it's so funny because I think there is some idea in your head that like, if your car is cheap, but it drives you at all, you've beat the system.
Yeah. You're like, getting away with something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I have a friend who now he does so well. He's like an environmentalist. He's like makes a ton of money working for like, he's an attorney and he bought
the
your
Subaru,
car.
The yeah, Subaru, sorry. Yeah, Outback.
He bought a Subaru Outback. This thing looks like it was made in 1981, and he bought it for $300 when he moved to LA. He's still driving it. He goes every time he gets in it, he goes, I feel like I've beat the system. And I'm like, yeah, but no one wants to bang you. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know. There's some weird hippie chick with like a serious back tattoo that is just looking for that
She's
guy.
She's like, you know what? He's married and they have beautiful children and she's really cool and she was a rockette. So she likes to bang him and he's pragmatic. So there is something to that, but like
that worked out as well as it could for that guy. Honestly,
he prefers a bike. So I just feel like, you know, this is a lost conversation on him, but I do think it's okay to say like, for me, I am kind of a car junkie. I'm a little bit of a gearhead, not a ton. And I think you're the same way. Like, I think we know more about cars than maybe most women, but probably more than a lot of dudes.
For sure.
And I think that for me comes from the fact that my dad owned a small car dealership and was a car dealer my whole life. And
yeah, you can't not know. He's going to come home and talk at dinner about what his day was like and the hang around brown Buick Regal that's on his lot for the last 6 months. Just
absolutely. And not only that, I'm going to talk about that Buick Regal, and then I'm going to talk about a sweet interest rate that he should be like trying to pick up. So like very fun conversation for a 9-year-old to be like 4.2%. So good luck in price.
All right. I'm going to remember that. Yeah. Well, I just feel like for some people though, it's embarrassing. Like,
What do you mean? Well, I
felt like it was embarrassing to have this car. I mean, yes, smart people drive a car that's way less than they can afford. That's what smart people do. But right. You still want a car that this Dodge Aspen was held with like some sort of like metal duct tape, like the hood, like it started rusting like the second it was driven off the lot. Like it was so, my brother and I used to be so embarrassed by it. We were like, this is the herpes of station wagons.
But how, like, do you think it paralleled your parents' divorce?
Well, okay. Let me tell you what I remember about it, though.
Okay.
I don't know how much of the aesthetics of the car actually looked like my parents' marriage, but the sadness of it is probably the same. Like this, okay. It had wood grain paneling, not real wood grain. It was like this fake blonde, and it was like peeling sort of like contact paper that went down the side of the car, basically. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. The rest of it was maroon. Like the paint was maroon, the carpet was maroon, the seats, dash, everything. And it started like peeling when we drove it off the lot. And like the part that like went around the wood paneling would come off and just flap on the freeway. Like if you got up going like 40, it would be like
I've never even heard of a Dodge Aspen. Just so you know, like they say the Yugo is the worst car ever made. I've never even heard of the Dodge Aspen.
Oh, I think
is it a van? It's a station wagon.
I've got a picture of it. I'm going to show you a picture.
I'll put it on the I Mom So Hard podcast on Instagram. So you can see it. But
yeah, luckily photography was really grainy at the time, so you can't see exactly how terrible it is. But you can see that I have my Aunt Karen's haircut, which is nice. So, but I think it was designed to look like, you know how rich people would like take their like Jeep Wagoneer to ski trips and stuff? Like their big, like boxy
SUV. I didn't know any of those people, nor, it looked good in magazines when I was at the dentist's office, but I don't know anybody that actually had that situation.
I knew some people that they had that nice car, and this was like the poor man's version of that car. Like it was no good. And so, plus, it was probably like rear wheel drive. It never would have made it over like a speed bump. There's no way it could have gone up, taking you to a ski chalet or something. It was not structurally designed for speed bumps. Okay. So I remember the wood grain paneling being hideous. And it was one of the first like cars that had child safety locks. It was like back when in the 80s when they were like, we should start worrying about the safety of kids, like they were hinting at.
Yeah. Keep them in the car, but don't require seat belts. Just lock them in so they don't fly out.
No, it was literally like the car seat that we had, which your mom just held you most of the time anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Hensley family did not have the old car seat.
Oh, no. It looked like a piece of Tupperware with a coat hanger through it. It was like, it would not.
You're like, your arms are allowed to, like, there's nothing that's going to be stopped in the event of an accident.
And it was like a wrapping bow that like held you in supposedly. But it did have these child safety locks that I'm telling you Houdini could not have broken out of because it had – they were like the pull-up kind. But you had to like stick your tiny like fingernail in to like pull this piece of metal out and then pull up on it. And guess who the only people were who could get these open? My parents couldn't.
You and Jeff.
Yeah.
You and your brother.
We were the only ones. Yeah. My parents would like make us crawl through the front seat into the back to get in and out of this car because the child safety locks were so impossible. Like, and then what?
Oh, sorry. I was going to say my parents used to say my dad would get like inconvenienced by safety guidelines. So he'd be like, he'd be like, hey, Kristen, just get up on here, get right on the console. I have vivid memories of being in my dad's car or truck or whatever dealer car he was driving. And I would literally sit on the console when I was like very little. And we would just have the best time. I'd have my hand on his shoulder. We'd be singing a little Dwight Yoakam together.
Jump on the CB, Dad.
Yeah. When he's not looking, I'm jumping on the CB, seeing what the streets are like out there. Like just having a sweet time.
There was zero regard for safety because I remember we had a conversion van. My grandparents did for sure. So whenever we go on a road trip, my brother and I would fight to be the one to stand between the two bucket seats because it was like right next to the air conditioner. And then when they did stop fast and you like plowed into the 8-track with your face, they'd be like, see? Should have been holding on.
Yeah, you should have held on to the seats when we were stopping at 60 miles per hour.
There's no physics involved in that. You can't stop. Well, the locks on this car too, these like child safety locks were so unsafe, like the entire mechanism didn't work, that I remember if it got cold enough and they would freeze, it would freeze so that the doors would just like swing open when you went around a corner. So my mom would be like bringing 4 or 5 kids to carpool and we just had to like hold on in the middle, like the middle seat of the car because the doors would fly open on like an icy day.
Man, in those Nebraska icy winter days, that's the thing. Midwest moms, there's a tough there that like it's hard to explain, but I can remember so vividly, like being, I think I was all of 5 and we had like a totally normal car and my mom would drive out to Sydney to see her mom, which was like a 6 hour drive. And it was me and my brother in the back seat and she would fold the back seat or she would, you know how the wheel wells, like you put your feet down and then there was the hump in between.
She would
fill those spaces so that it was like a giant mattress in the back. And I remember that her biggest challenge was to make it so you couldn't feel the seatbelt locks. So she's like,
they're uncomfortable.
She's like, those aren't comfy. So she would make it like all cool. And I remember we were coming back from Sydney one time in this old car. I can't remember if we hit the ditch or if the car died, but I remember my brother was 2. I was 5. My mom was, I don't know, 18. No, I'm just kidding. She was just so young. And we had to walk in a blizzard and flag down a guy so we could go to a local gas station to get home. And I remember thinking it was the greatest adventure of my life. And here's the thing. I don't remember my mom like being hysterical. I think my mom was kind of like, oh man, this is what happens in a blizzard. You just take your 2 kids into the elements and then you wave down some driver of a truck and he takes you to the nearest Casey's.
Okay, so she was mad at the blizzard. My mom was mad at my dad. Like, this was like, she cursed this car so much and wanted a new one. And like, he was just so cheap, he didn't want to get one. And so it was like, I'm sure it was like listed on their divorce filing, like the paperwork that they had to turn in. Because, it wasn't just that it was like awful when the weather was like super cold. Cause you know, Nebraska's got those like mood swings of the seasons where it's like 110 degrees and then like so hot and so sticky and you like drive and grasshoppers are getting like smushed.
It's like the whole state's on menopause.
Yeah. You gotta like use your windshield wipers because there's
so many. It's so gross. Like, it's so true. And it like leaves guts on your window. It's the so most disgusting. In the front just gets splattered.
Oh, in the grill. Yeah. You got to use like a brush to get them off. But this car had a vinyl, like faux leather seats that were burgundy with like buckles to make them look like a.
Oh, yeah.
Like fancy.
Yeah. Like luggage.
Oh, that's. Yeah, exactly.
You know, like a cool. Yeah,
like
I get it.
A trunk of some sort. Like, and when you sat on those motherfuckers, they were, I remember, like, I have such a sense memory of putting the back of my thighs onto those in the middle of the summer. Like, you would drop to a knee, it would hurt so bad. You just, like, piercing scream, it would be so bad. Like, it was horrible. But, it was just, like, so cheap that the air conditioner, like, never worked. It was, like, God love Detroit and American-made cars, but this was the shittiest car. I was like, can you guys just buy a Toyota? Like, but we had a Datsun that we drove for like 500,000 miles, a Datsun B210 or something.
Said no one ever.
It was pretty sweet. It had those like wooden ball seat covers on it.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I think some of those old cars are tanks and they're meant to be driven.
Okay. Here's two more things though that it did. That car was not a tank. It was not meant to be driven because it would die so much and we would take it on long road trips like family vacations.
Oh, no.
And I remember we took it to those Wisconsin Dells. And the reason I remember it so vividly is that I'd just gotten this new like lightweight pink windbreaker it was white with pink trim.
Oh,
and I got to pick it out. I loved it so much. And we brought it because we were by the water and it might get cold at night. So we went to like some fish and chips place for dinner and then go out to the parking lot. The car won't start. The stupid Dodge Aspen wagon won't start. And we had to walk back to our motel. And
I bet your mom's pissed.
Oh my God. The whole time she was fighting. Like, I remember my brother and I walking up ahead so we didn't have to like listen to him. And I was dragging my wrist along this like chain that was in front of this used car dealership. And the whole like arm of my coat turned black from like the chain. And of course, it was the 80s. You didn't get a new coat. You just had a messed up coat for 3 years because it like you got it two sizes too big. Yeah. So I just had like one really janky arm and this car was the reminder of it. And then so I can't remember if it was that one or if it was like when we're in South Dakota because those are the two vacations you go on when you're from the Midwest.
Yeah.
South Dakota, Wisconsin Dells.
Wherever you can go to a creepy putt-putt place and talk with strangers at their campsite. That's pretty much the Hensley version of five-star travel.
There's a corn palace there? Well, we'll go. That sounds
I had irritable bowel syndrome one summer, and I'd rather not go through that again.
Well, so I remember, I'm pretty sure it was South Dakota. Might have been Wisconsin Dells because we're staying at this like motor lodge place that had like these little cabins and we were so cheap that my mom would always check the beds for fleas, not even bed bugs, because nice hotels get bed bugs. We would have to check the bed for fleas. We would stay, and because we always brought our dogs, which is what classy people do. And I remember there was like a pool in the middle of the parking lot, and my parents were having this horrible argument. My dad was like, let's go to the pool. So we get in our suits, and my dad and my brother and I got to the pool, and we're in there for like 20 minutes. And then we hear the Dodge Aspen wagon because it was so freaking loud, the engine of it.
Oh, no.
And we see my mom like driving through the parking lot, like angry, like her hair up in a bun, not even looking towards the pool. And it was like so ominous. I remember I was like, Dad, is she coming back? And he was like, yeah, she's coming. Like he didn't believe him. Like it seemed like that was
He's
it.
Like,
that was
TBD. TBD.
Like that my final memory would be of my mother like in this wagon with like blown struts and shocks like bobbing up and down out of this like shitty motel parking lot.
Oh, no.
And she did come back, but then they like got divorced and it was such like they fought about this car so much.
Isn't that weird that this car becomes this like talking point for a divorce? I think at that point you're like, I just want something that you want.
It was that neither one of them would budge. It was like she was not going to drive that car. She didn't want the car. And he was like, I'm not going to give up on this car, which was a really stupid idea because it was such a terrible car.
Well, like, let me just say this. If I ever get divorced, and I don't want to get divorced, but if I ever get divorced, my husband can freely and happily have the RAV4.
The RAV4 was like the Bugatti of cars next to this station wagon, little Kristen. Like just before we got the new car, we get like upgraded to an Oldsmobile Cutlass Sierra.
I'm familiar. I've sold a couple in my day.
It felt like the fanciest car you could ever have. But before that happened, we were driving out of the Kmart parking lot, my mom, my brother and I, and she hit a pothole and all of the hubcaps flew off. All four of them flew off. And I remember because I had to race across the parking lot to go retrieve two. And my brother had to get the other two because we were going to try and trade it in for something.
Oh, no.
It was awful. But I bet you had like the pick of the litter because your dad sold cars. So
no,
you could have just.
That's like- what I That's what I think I should have had, Jen. Thank you for bringing that up.
You should have.
No, I did not. Let me explain something to you. Dewey Hensley Motor was the name of my dad's car dealership. Nowhere in that title was the word Mercedes or Lexus. Okay? If there was a Buick or some version of a old like Chevelle, my dad sold them. And here's the thing. My dad would say, he'd go, "Hey, Kristen, go ahead and drive this car to school and back today." And I would think, "Oh, that's fun. It's a different car. I'll drive that to school today." And then it would break down and he'd be like, "Yeah, I just needed to see what needed to get fixed on it before I put it on the lot." And I was like, I'm just wondering at what point I am a factor in this car, the fact that I'm in there. And I honestly didn't care because against that Midwest attitude, you're like, I'll go to the neighbor. I know everybody. I'll go knock on their door and my dad will come pick me up, which I did literally all over Highway 14. I would literally just like walk off and go call my dad and say, "The car stopped. I think it's a transmission. Get your guys to fix it." And he'd come pick me up. Except the worst time ever was when my dad gave me this really crappy car. And I think it was a Chevy. Cavalier. It was a Cavalier.
Oh, okay.
I knew it didn't sound right when I was driving it. I was like, but I got to go get my hair did for prom. Okay. And I was going to Command Performance in Grand Island, which was 22 miles away. And I got my hair done and I am driving back to go to prom. And my car breaks down at mile 11, which is Chapman. So I have to go into the only bar, which is like, there's four dudes in there and all of them have a prison record. So I go in and I'm like, "Hey, can I call my dad to come get me?" And my hair is the size of a parking cone. So I have to sit in this bar.
An updo, it sounds.
I got a real updo, but good thing they put in so much shellac that the winds did not stop it. I'm wearing pantyhose at this point. I'm so ready for prom. So yeah. I had to have my dad come and get me. And I still wasn't that mad about it. I was kind of like, "Dad, you knew. Transmission on this was bad."
I don't understand it, though. Parents were so fine. And this is pre-cell phones. They were fine with you getting stranded by the roadside. Like, my brother stopped to help this girl on the highway one time. And she was like, "Oh, wow, it's so nice of you that you would stop to help me." He goes, "No, I didn't. I wouldn't have, but I thought you were my sister because she's always broken down on the side of the freeway." Highway, you call it.
I know. Yeah. It's literally... like the idea of like everybody. So you can literally walk to someone's house. You open the door. And I'm like, "Can I call my dad?" And they're like, "Come on, Kristen, how's your mom?" Like, it's so,
yeah.
But there's good and bad to that. Now being in Los Angeles, my approach would be very different. And we have, you know, cell phones that we can call everybody, or they don't work. And that happens too. But my dad gave me a car in high school when I wasn't driving the test drive cars. And it was I want to make sure I say this right. It was a 1983 Oldsmobile Delta four-door diesel.
Okay.
And when I called my dad.
Was that a Cutlass Sierra? Was it a Oldsmobile?
It was a Cutlass shit. Okay. And when I called my dad 3 days ago, I had post-traumatic stress because I called him and I said, "Hey, Dad, do you remember that car that you and Mom made me drive in high school? You know, the one that was like 14,000 feet long, super embarrassing, tones of blue paint." By the way, if you've ever painted a room blue, you've probably messed it up at one point or another because blue is a very hard color to deal with.
Tough.
Somehow this car cornered the market on the two ugliest blues that you could match up. And they were like, "Put them together. Put these two wrong things, one on the top and one on the bottom, and you're going to have a sweet ride." And then inside, make the interior like just a hint of teal so that you've got
it. But was that a fade? Because remember, interiors used to fade to like
it was absolutely a fade. I think it tried to match the other and did not weather well. We know women that have aged well and we know women that haven't. I love all women. Mm. This car was on the side of not aging well. She'd seen a lot, I'm sure.
The Oldsmobile is a woman that did not age well. She was ridden hard and put away wet.
She was ridden hard and parked in the sun. She parked in the sun. She didn't use SPF. She didn't use any kind of sun protection.
Not so one of those my dad, reflector things?
Yeah, none of it. my dad gives me this car and he goes, I called him 3 days ago and I said, what was the car? And he told me it was the Delta four-door diesel. And then he started to reminisce about the car like it was the greatest thing he ever remembered. And I'm having complete nightmare shock attacks of what that felt like to drive that car. By the way, I was 4'2" and it looked like the steering wheel was a Ferris wheel. Like my size of my body and this proportion to the steering wheel was a joke. It should have been a gerbil wheel. It was so big. This car was so big. And so I said, Dad, that car that he goes, you know what? It was big and it was safe. That's what Dewey said 2 days ago. It was big and it was safe. And I want to say, well, Dad, if I would have come home with a boyfriend that was like 6'4" and 280, would you have been like, hey, he was big and I'm sure he's safe? No. No.
That's very rudimentary physics, by the way. Just because it's like you have more crumple zone doesn't mean that it's like safe. Because some of those big ass cars, they didn't even crumple. You just like bounce around and I'm like,
That's what I'm going to say. I'm going to tell you, this thing, Jen, the front seat was so big that it looked like a sofa. Like if you were sitting in the front seat with me and I looked over to my right at you, you would be literally smaller than you've ever been. I wouldn't even be able to know what earrings you're wearing because you're so far away.
Oh yeah. That's the Oldsmobile that I had a bench seat and I am.
That's right. Big seat?
Well, everybody got, it's one big seat. So I had to like scoot it all the way up so that I could touch. Right. And people would get so mad. Either they'd have to ride in the back seat or somebody got so mad that they just broke it. So that side wouldn't even go forward. It was always at a diagonal. I don't remember who it was, my brother or something like that. But when it was scooted all the way forward so I could touch the pedals and the steering wheel, it was like a Maybach in the back. You could have put a rear facing seat right behind mine and like a table to play cards on.
I'm telling you, I've been in the front seat when you've had to move a seat up. I've actually driven my car when you drove my car and I tried to get in the car and it was like my knees were at my earlobes. It was indecent. And I also didn't know if I was going to make it out alive. I've never had to press the reverse on a seat for literally 45 seconds to get my leg length.
It's a while. It does give a workout. But you know what? My body type was made for like a two-seater, elegant, sort of small car.
Yeah, but I've been in the car with you and I feel like you're one of those people that enjoy a real strong like chest situation with the steering wheel so that you can make very strong left and right turns.
Yeah. Yeah.
You like to, every car you have feels like you're like in Italy, like going around like hairpin turns. Whereas I'm the opposite. I like to have a lot of space. I like to have my window down and my arm out, my hand
on the steering wheel. Kristen is a very casual driver. Like she really is. She's like, it takes 10 minutes to get there. I'm going to give myself 30 just in case there's some new like infrastructure they're building that I want to check out. Or if I want to like glare into somebody's car next to me and see what they're doing in there, maybe roll down the window, listen to what they're listening to. That's
100% my father.
I gotta get there. I like.
Come on, come on. That's Jen. Come on, come on.
But I don't speed either. I don't like to speed. I think it's like.
I don't think you
on
speed.
On the freeway.
You don't speed, but you like to like get up on somebody and then get to the left and get up on somebody and go to the right. And in the car, I'm like this. I'm like, just trust her. She is holding on to your life in this car.
Yeah.
Let Jesus take the wheel.
I worked at Auto Trader for like 12 years of my life, which is why I know so much about cars. But I was always on the freeway because it was an outside sales job. So like on the freeway a lot, you just learn to drive like pole position. And Kristen would be like, oh, there's a car in front of you, there's a car in front of you, like doing that fake brake on the side. Like,
yeah, I'm like, I'm your driver's ed teacher and I'm braking on your behalf.
Yeah.
That's what my feet are doing. And my insides are like, just trust her. Just trust her. It's hard. You're a fast driver. The car that my dad gave me when I was in high school, that wonderful Delta, would not go over 28 miles per hour. Physically.
Like, it just wouldn't?
She wouldn't. She knew. She was in cahoots with my dad. She was long in the tooth by the time I got her. So she wasn't doing anything she didn't want to do. And let me tell you something about this car. This is what I have to say about this car. This car would not die. It would not die. And in fact, you could take the keys out of the car and it would stay, it would keep running. And then you would just wait. And then eventually it would turn off. Except one time my mom and I went to the mall, Conestoga Mall in Grand Island, drove my car, parked it, got out, locked it, took the keys out. It was still running. We were like, oh, you know what? It'll die eventually. It usually does. We came out 4 hours later and that sucker was still going. Can you imagine walking by this car? It's locked and running.
That means that your ignition was stripped. That would have been a very easy car to steal. You could just like take the keys out and it
would. Are you kidding? I used to keep the keys on the hood. I was like, take it, free car. And then they would just, because of the good people
we're very suspicious that this car has full coverage. It doesn't really make sense in terms of its, I don't think this is worth $38,000 as they wrote on the insurance form.
I think if you went to Dewey and that car got him $38,000, he would have kept real tight-lipped and been like, you play this right, you'll get the car of your dreams. Not to say that he was a man against the law, but 38 grand for that car. He knows that's a good sale.
That feels, we just would look in like the classified ads for our cars. And it was such like, as I mentioned, that cars were like the thing that my parents fought over kind of the most. So like when my brother turned 16, my dad bought him a car and my mom was like, nope, you can't have it. Because it was from dad. They had this like 80s divorce thing that was so contentious. And it was like, they would go to court like every 4 weeks over some new like thing. Like it was like, he wasn't allowed to have it. Same thing happened when I got a car. She was like, nope, it's unsafe. It's a manual transmission. That's not a car for a lady. That's, you can't like, drive that car.
Oh my God.
So the ones that they would agree on. Well, so my brother's first car was, it was maybe in the 70s. Maybe 60s. I don't know. A Ford F-100.
What is that? Is that a truck?
It is a square piece of metal with wheels on the bottom of it. It's a truck. And it, when you slam the doors, it sounds like you're dropping like an I-beam off of a building.
You keep driving these cars I've never heard of before.
We ever heard of a Mercury Capri?
Yeah, I have heard of a Mercury Capri.
It's That's the poor real- man's Mustang, which my dad bought from his secretary at work. She babied it, so it seemed like it was a gem. Only had 7,000 miles on it. Was 11 years old, and it we called it the skin colored car because this was back before Crayola was like inclusive of other cultures, and there was that crayon, the like peach crayon was called skin. You know, this like horrible like neon peach. Mercury Capri, and somebody I went to high school with had a yellow one too. And it was like, I wish I had a picture of that really. We could fit 14 people in it. And that car, the great thing about that, it was so visually upsetting. It was very clean though, but it had all these like kind of quirky things wrong with it. Like it started, which was great. But the horn was one of those sticks like on the wheel, you know, pushed. And it was so embarrassing that I remember we were driving by the high school and my friend Mandy was at cheerleading practice. And my brother's like, my older brother, of course, is like, I'm going to honk at her. And I was like, no, we're in the embarrassing car. No, don't honk. And so he did it just to torture me. And the horn got stuck.
Oh,
and
no.
It was like this loud blare where like all like everybody in after school activities is standing out like, what's going on? What's happening with this car? It was so bad that my brother had to rip the horn out of the steering column to get it to finally shut off. It was so terrible. Yeah. Yeah. We're so rich, you guys. It was crazy.
Well, here's the thing. I thought we were rich. I mean, growing up, I was like, we're millionaires. Why can't I have a cool car? And then it came to, I'm like, mom, you teach school. Dad, you sell used cars. I know you're rolling in the dough. Like, let's throw a little of that cash my way because I think I deserve a nice car in high school. I'm such a snot and I don't care. I do. I did. I was like, you know what? I'm super uncool. I'm super dorky. I get good grades. I'm absolutely a virgin. I'm like your ideal kid. Like, no, but I'm not like, give me a chance to be a little bit cool by getting me a cool car. And I'm not, I didn't want a Mercedes, even though that would have been so awesome. I didn't even know what a Mercedes was.
I didn't either. But, no idea.
Like a nice Ford Escort or a snazzy Dodge Omni, something with a little, that just is like a normal high school car would have been. Yeah. My idea of a dream car, but this boat that I drove, which ended up being the most popular car, was like, it was a nightmare on wheels. So then I vowed, I said, someday when I make my own money, I'm going to get myself my first cool car. And I did. And it felt like, and still to this day, I don't think there would be any day that I loved more than that day that I bought my.
You bought that. It's such a huge deal.
It's Honda? Such a huge deal.
Honda's a very smart purchase and a cool purchase too.
Thank you. But you got a Volkswagen Beetle. And what's funny is you and I did exactly the same thing. We were both, you know, in our young 20s and we both had to pay it every month ourselves.
Oh yeah.
And we both leased.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. But I do think there's something so important and so profound about, and maybe I don't want to say that I'm like gender stereotyping, but I do think that it's really cool when you're a chick or a woman, whatever you call yourself,
broad, and you buy your first car.
A broad is what I refer to you as. you buy you that first car and it feels like there will never be a moment like that, because that car is going to be the coolest thing you've ever owned in your life. And it doesn't matter if it's a Dodge Omni or if it's a Honda Civic EX Coupe with a spoiler, Hunter Green. What's up?
I think it's a really big deal, because you could literally live in your car if you had to. And you're like paying for it. I hope that's not true.
I mean, not for long periods of time, but I ended up buying it, which is terrible business to like lease it and then buy it. So I paid on that car for like 18 years, but my butt was in that seat for so many hours. There were two worn off white marks on the seat from where my ass had been in that car. Cause I was a PA in Los Angeles, which means I was a production assistant, which means I was literally the gopher for everything. And I was in my car for 9 hours at a time. I would fold my laundry in my car.
Oh my gosh.
While driving.
I don't think I ever had a car that long, because I worked with car dealers, so I'd always get a new car. But I've had like 25 cars in my life.
Yeah, you went through cars. You went through a lot of cars before, during, and after. And since I've known you, you always get a different car.
I do. I get really bored with cars. And even I was excited to get the minivan. When I got the minivan, because I
said no one ever said no.
But I did say that. I did say that. I was really excited because I was like, ooh, this has power doors. And like, this is going to be easier to like get the kids in and out of like, because when we first got it, Delilah was still in a car seat. And Dash was in like a convert. What do you call it?
Yeah, you had those. I know. And it was very practical. I remember thinking like giving you shit about it, but then being like, hey, there's something to this. It's like not really bad. Easy.
It's super easy. You can fit like families in town. You can all take one car to the restaurant.
It's
whatever.
Awesome.
Now I'm going to drive it off a cliff. Like it is no. I look at people when I make eye contact and I feel like they're like, can't take her seriously. She is.
Well, you've also, that car has seen, it has seen battle and it has, it's spent time with you in a way that
what she's saying is I'm a bad driver. Okay. I hit a lot of curbs. Okay. And that's why I tell my husband, he's like, why is the front left fender like all the paint scratched off it? I'm like, well, it's a huge vehicle to parallel park. And he's like, are you parking only on one-way streets? There's no reason that part of the car would ever be scratched and it is beat to shit. And but if you have to park in like a parking garage, like it's impossible to not hit something.
That's what I'm saying. And you're up on that steering wheel and it's like, turn left, turn right. It's like you've got the A-team in the back or something. Like I've never, that car has been handled in a way that I think that van has proven itself to you in several ways to being an extraordinary car. I just think that it has, now your kids are big enough that you don't need a minivan. I mean, you always can use a minivan, but I think at this point, if you wanted a different kind of car, you could get a different kind of car.
I absolutely want another car. Colin got his new car, but you have been in analysis paralysis in terms of getting a new car, because you've been in analysis paralysis about purchasing a car, which you deserve a new car because you want one and you've had the same one for a long time.
Thank you. But I don't know if you know this, but sometimes torturing yourself and making everyone listen to your woes is better than actually solving the problem. Sometimes just torturing myself with the fact that I have this 11-year-old car has now become such a talking point for me that I'm sure I'm a good time at parties. I'm like, well, let me tell you about how I need a new car. Champagne problems, y'all. Like a new car. And let me bore you to death with the fact that I can't pull the trigger on a car. But here's what I can do. See, the thing is, I wanted my husband to get a new car because I was like, I don't want to drive this ever in public, this car that you've ruined.
Would you just when wanted you to like save husband, yourself from that possibility? You were like, let's take it off the table.
I just feel like, yeah, we go to a valet and I feel like the valet guy's like, what did I do wrong? You know, like
not getting a tip.
And it's again, it's not the car. A RAV4 Toyota, you can run, you can drive that thing for 400,000 miles and never have a problem. And I think that's fantastic. Yeah. But I would just like to say, it's not the car. It's my husband. Already, my husband has 40 things in his new console. It's already happening.
What are the kind of things that he even like keeps in there? I'm so curious.
I'm not. It's a lot of tools, weird stuff. I don't need to know. Let him have his space. At least it's a nice space now. It's like an upgrade.
You know what,
it's
my
like
husband?
Not an efficiency apartment. It's like a one bedroom.
So basically, like my car, quote unquote, and it's not even like we have a four door car, and then we have the minivan that my husband and I both drive, but it's basically the kids' car. Like anytime the kids are coming with us, they get in the minivan. And my husband has this like multi-purpose, multiple sized Allen wrench tool in the console of the car. And I'm like, are you going to put together IKEA furniture in here? I don't know. Truth is, nobody really needs a nice car. You need a reliable car. But obviously, you're going to get your kids a reliable car.
Yeah, but I'm also, let's be clear. Just because I had a shitty car in high school doesn't mean that I'm going to buy them a cool car when they're in high school. I'm going to buy them an embarrassing car, because why do they deserve a cool car?
Yeah, the good point. If I can't have one, there's no reason that they should have. But, you know, I can see Dash asking for like a Mercedes.
God,
I can see.
Oh,
he would. He's ballsy enough. He would do it too. He's like, I did all the research. This is the car. However, Delilah with clothes, like, I can get her, like, really cute, like, an outfit from, like, Rockets of Awesome or something. And whatever I paid for that was, like, $2 off Walmart clearance rack is all she wants to wear. So I think she's going to be happy if I get her, like, a Dodge Dart with, like...
And you know what? But kids, like, I agree. We put this on Instagram. We said, like, what was your first car? And, like, how do you feel about, like, what kids' cars should be when they're in high school? Here's a good thing. My parents are not listening to this because they can't figure out podcasts. But I do believe that, like, it's weird how great it was to have a shitty car in high school. Like, there's some weird thing that goes back to that that goes, hey, man, you were just happy to have something that got you from A to B. You were happy to go... I remember like my friend Trina and I putting our money together and we were like, we have $2.75. That's a gallon or 2 gallons of diesel and we can cruise all night. And that,
oh yeah,
it was so easy and joyful. And like, I feel weird when people buy their kids like these extravagant cars. I think you, by the way, like I want to know that my starting place has a starting place and moves up. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like a shitty car in high school is like a badge of honor. Now, do I think that kids from our, like our kids, will they have shitty cars? I don't think so. Because a Honda will last for 20 years.
I'm not going to get them shitty cars, but I'm going to get them a reliable car. But I don't think it needs to be cool whatsoever. Like, I think it needs to be like,
I think
something
there's
a little
version,
humbling.
But I think there's a version of a cool, uncool car. I think there is, like, if Miley Cyrus drove a Gremlin, Gremlins would be the coolest shit yes. on the block. Do yes. you know what I mean? Like, I think there is a version of an uncool, cool car that you can get your kids that isn't embarrassing, because that's the part that was hard for me, because it was like, I didn't want anything extravagant. I just didn't want anything embarrassing, because I was already embarrassing enough. Like, we know I was president of the clown troop. I was coming in under yeah. 4'5". I hadn't started my period until I was 17. Like, who knows? But I'm just saying there are a couple factors that a cool car would have helped. But I think my version of a cool car is somebody else's version of a dump.
You know, we had the same kind of car, and I thought it was super cool. We both had Mini Coopers. And
oh, at the same time.
Before we were
like
friends.
Real assholes.
Yeah, total dorks. But we were like, I have a Mini Cooper. I have a Mini Cooper. What color is yours? Red? What color is yours? Blue?
Burgundy?
Yeah.
I drove my Mini Cooper. That was such a wonderful time in my life because I had been working. I was an adult. It was my second car that I bought myself. My first was my Honda that I had.
The Honda was 23 years old, so she had to retire it and get it.
Yeah, I know. I was like, I'd been driving my car for 45 years. Just kidding. And I got that Mini Cooper and I had it for 1 year, and then I met my husband. And you know how this story goes. Like, I met him and then 18 hours later, I was pregnant. Yeah. Not saying I put out fast, but I was in my 30s and I put out fast.
There
so
was a timeline. Yeah.
There was a timeline here. So I had my cool Mini Cooper, and I remember my husband going, your car is so small. And I'm like, yeah, but you look big in it. And then he was like, let's drive your car. Mostly because he drove like this vintage Mercedes 3000D or 300D.
The diesel. Yeah.
That I thought looked cool on the outside. And then I got in and I was like, it smells like rain. And I remember thinking, oh, this is cool. Car, it smells bad in here. I'm going to roll down the window. Well, but it doesn't roll down. And, oh, I'm going to put my seatbelt on.
Oh.
But it didn't click.
That's
so, like,
those old school, like, opening windows were better than the hand crank, but then they wouldn't open sometimes.
Right.
I had
but you jerks,
like
you and all my friends that got in that car, you were like, this car is so cool. And I'm like, it's really not. It's, like, cool on the outside and not cool or safe. And we brought home our son in it, but I was like, this car's got to go. Then we got the RAV4. Cut to 10 years later, we still have the RAV4.
I know that.
I'm looking
Mercedes-
at the RAV4.
That diesel Mercedes is just only had lap belts in the back. It was so old. It was like, it didn't even have the cross like ones.
It was so old that it had only lap belts, and then it had horses in front of it. That's how old this car was. And I'll tell you, like, I loved my husband's car. It's literally something that comes up in our marriage counseling is I made him get rid of this car. I stand by it. I let him be upset about it and work his shit out, but I really don't care. But
you had to get rid of your car too, because you can't do a car seat and a Mini Cooper.
No, I had my Mini Cooper for 1 year, and I'm telling you, when I was single, I worked really hard. You worked really hard. You get this cool car. You're like, this is the coolest thing. And then, we got engaged 14 seconds after we met, and as you know, you and Britt took us to have champagne, and then a few hours later, after the buzz was off and we could safely drive my Mini Cooper to Palm Springs to a wedding. We did, except my husband drove and the champagne was...
The buzz was off of Colin, but right. It was heavily on you still.
Right. So that's why I was
You were
like,
still vibrating.
I mean, head to toe. I had a diamond on my finger. I was like, this shit is happening. So we went to Caro's parking lot. I was like, let's pull over and get funky, okay? So we went into a Caro's parking lot, and I remember thinking, like, fuck, this is hard in here. Like, just the physics of it alone, being in the front seat of a Mini Cooper trying
Colin
to do it.
Colin is a tall man.
He's a tall man. He's a big man. So we pulled the seat back. I don't want to get into it, but I'm just going to say that the fact that I conceived is against gravity and physics. I mean, that sperm had to do a hairpin turn. It was like a, you know, like an obstacle
course
around cones. You were
both a lot more limber at that point, too. If I recall, it had a moonroof you could have stuck your head out of if need be.
I think that would have been better than actually pulling the muscle in my neck, which, I'm
going to tell you how I picture it. And I
Jen, tell me how you picture me and my all husband right. having sex.
Conceiving in Finn is the gear shift on the floor is in Colin's butt. He's facing the back. You're out of the moonroof.
Wrong.
Colin's feet are out of because the tailgate would lay down if you lift it. I feel like that had to happen.
Wrong. He's in the driver's seat. I think I'm going to be sexy and
honk the horn with your butt a whole
exactly.
bunch.
Exactly. So my my head is hitting the sunroof at a 90 degree angle. And you know I'm not one for skirts. So I only have my pants around one ankle. I'm just saying, when I tell my son how he was conceived, it will be a glorious, romantic, very real reminder of why one needs to be safe.
Oh my gosh.
But it was such a good, so when my son was born and he weighed 1,000 pounds and I tried, to put him in the back of that Mini Cooper.
He weighed as much as that Mini Cooper, I swear.
I've never made money on a car before, but I didn't want to sell it because I loved it so much. But when I tried to put Finn in the back and the baby carrier, he was falling forward because I had him strapped in. I was like, well, this isn't going to work. And I remember feeling like, oh man, this is the end of an era. This is the end of an era. And I had that car for like maybe 2 years and it was awesome. And now, so that's why cars are important is because they like kind of, you remember where you are in your life
exactly.
when you have them, you know, like you remember your car when you're 16 and literally my hands, well, this isn't you, Jen, but my hands, when I think about my car, when I was 16, my hands are higher because I was literally 4'2". And then when I think about my first Honda Civic, I remember being like, I'm going to be okay. I put something on payments. I'm an adult. And then my Mini Cooper, I was like, this is what happens when you have unsafe sex.
Well, then you have a happy life. And there's Finn Sweeney. Well, no, not after you get married. That's nobody's got the dexterity or energy for that anymore. But I do think that like, that's true. Like our Aspen station wagon defined my like childhood, like my parents' divorce. That's why I hate that car. Like I would take a bat to one if I saw it. But that like it also there's this whenever I see a guy driving like a 91 convertible Corvette, you know, with personalized plates in Los Angeles, I'm like, honey, let it go. That's over. Like, it's over for that. All that's over, guy. Let's give that a Viking funeral. Like,
oh, man. I remember my dad went through that time. I'm speaking too loosely, but let it happen. I'm going to let it happen. Here we go.
Drink, drink, drink.
I didn't even write about this, but I'm going to talk about it.
Oh. Dewey was a vet man for a while. Ugh.
Dewey.
It's wonderful.
Dewey hit 40 and 40 hit Dewey. And Dewey was a dad, like coaching teams, living large. And all of a sudden, Dewey was not happy. And I remember being like, why are you jump roping all the time?
And your shorts are so short, Dad. Like,
why are you wearing a leather blazer? So he started jump roping all the time. And then he was wearing like a leather blazer. And I remember he brought home a Fiero.
It's a Camaro.
He didn't come out of the closet.
A Miata and a Martini.
Not a Miata. A Camaro.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, Dad, 2 weeks ago we had a Suburban. Like, what gives? And I just remember he like changed for it. What feels like a weekend, I think my mother would tell you, was a year of him like going through this massive like midlife crisis, like by the book, he was going through a midlife crisis. And my mom's foxy and blonde and blue eyed and you know, it's a fun time at a bar and she's so charismatic. And I think that my dad was like, well, you know, if other women aren't checking you out, then do you even exist? And I can understand, I didn't forever understand why he would ever go through something like that. And then I realized like women go through the same thing.
Yeah.
Like we all go through that same thing where you start to see your face change and your body change and you see youth wasted on the young. You're like, oh my God, your skin. Like if I could bottle it, I would, you know, like whatever that is. But my dad was going through that. And I remember observing it so profoundly. And I'm sure my mom went through the same thing. And you know what she did? Nothing. She just went through it. So I don't know if this is a me saying my dad is the right one and my mom is the right one. I don't, that's not the conversation, but I just remember being like, Dad, you seem so fucking weird right now. Like what is with the hair being like combed back with gel all of a sudden?
Okay. I've never thought of it that way. And I think that's generous and kind of you because I am sometimes hard on a guy who's like, look, and partly it's because I'm like, you do get to age gracefully, dude. Like you don't have to act or look young anymore and you still get like respect and you're still attractive. But women, like the $60,000 that a guy would spend on a Corvette, if I could slide that through our checking account without my husband realizing, all on body treatments and surgeries. Yes. So that I absolutely would. So now I get it. It's I honestly do.
I think that women and men go through it at the same time. I think that it's the first time. And again, I'm going to make this point and I'm not a gender hater, but I would just like to say men all of a sudden say, oh, my wiener's broken. And we have four different kinds of erectile dysfunction commercials that are like, oh, if you want to have a night of endless love in a bathtub looking out in the ocean, then take this pill and your wiener will get hard. And yet women, like, we're still not talking about menopause. We're still not talking about that stuff. It feels scary and weird. And oh, like, I don't want to talk about that because that might make me old or weird or
however,
like I'm a crypt keeper or, but like you I do know. As it's
but
weird.
If with age, your vagina grew shut, there'd be 1 million drugs. That
there
would fix
be
it.
Million drugs.
Every scientist in the world would be trying to fix that.
Yeah. Or if like.
No, I can't say that. What? Yes, you can. Say it. We'll edit it out. Don't worry.
I'm just saying like if the young girls actually looked at the old guys like they should. If I don't believe like a 25-year-old girl should ever be with like a 55-60-year-old dude. I just think that that's a. You can tell me all day long that that's like, we just literally and genuinely fell in love. And I'm like, bullshit, there's more to it. Maybe one in a million. I try to be romantic, but I'm like, you're right. If like vaginas seared up after a certain age and those were the only vaginas the penises of that age were allowed to get to, there would be a pill every yes. corner of the block. There would
I've
be-
got very bad news. My what? Vagina seared shut.
My vagina seared shut?
Mine did.
Mine has, let me tell you something. I heard on quarantine that people are running out of condoms and I'm like, what school project are you guys working with?
Cause are these single people? Because my husband and I like try not to touch each other in the hallway because we're so mad at each other by the way we load the dishwasher. We're like, oh, I remember. I recognize you. You're the Jack that left 15 pair of shoes by the back door.
Our kids are now saying this. Oh boy, here we go again.
What
That's
that
what's
mean?
Happening with our conversations. I know what Britt was doing. I know he. Okay, here's here's
he
what we're going to talk about right now.
Is
now,
doing the, jumps and holding up signs because he.
I know.
Let's talk about it because this is car related.
Okay, let me explain something. This is very related to cars. I am a very safe driver.
Yeah.
Probably too safe. I have been known to call
like
the
when
police.
When you rear end somebody and they're like, did the driver in front of you stop short for no reason? Kristen does that. She does that thing.
I also am, I've been known to, in some situations, see a car going too fast. I tail them. I call the police department. I say, I've got eyes on suspect, read the plate. And they say, are you following that person right now? And I say, I absolutely am. And the police say very specifically, stop.
Yeah, don't do that.
And I say, I can't. I got eyes on him. And I don't know why you guys don't have your birds out here right now. And they say, you have to stop following him. I don't know why. So I...
And might I add, she takes stop following them as, you're going 65, slam on the brakes, no matter who's behind you. Okay, keep
going. Right. Right. So I'm just saying that I do feel this like incredible responsibility when I see people misbehaving.
Oh, wait. No, we're talking about how the lanes, how you get mad when Colin drives in the right lane. By the way, BT dubs, it doesn't bother me because I understand quirks. I'm not a quirk shamer. You know, I've got them. I've got a ton of them. My husband is like
appalled.
Appalled.
Okay. But I'm going to tell you this. And by the way, I understand Britt's appalled at this because I've heard him girl laugh at this 1 million times. But I would just like to say in Los Angeles.
He just can't believe that it, like of all the things that can bother you, that that's the thing.
Jen, there's a million small things that can bother me that nobody gives a shit about. That is the glory of being married to me. You signed up, man. You nailed me in a Mini Cooper. You knew what I, you know. I'm sorry you were duped.
I'll tell you what my husband's is.
Let me tell you.
You finish. You finish, though.
Here's the problem.
Say why it's bothering you.
I'm going to.
It's legit.
Okay. There's nothing more infuriating. And in fact, I thought this 17 hours ago. When you are on a Los Angeles freeway, it is very busy. People take on ramps all the time to the freeway. You should not be in the right lane if you are not exiting the freeway. Get a couple lanes over. Let that person merge with ease. Oh, no. My husband's like, I'm going to spend 14 miles in this right lane so the people that merge have to like slow down or speed up. It's like he's the reason people have driver's ed. So like they're like coming on out onto the right lane. I'm like, just move over two lanes. This started a decade ago. Hey, babe, can you move over a couple lanes? Hey, can you move over a couple? Hey, can you just move over a couple? And now I'm like, why do you insist on driving in the right lane? And now he just drives in the right lane to piss me off. And we have talked about this several times in therapy.
Well, my husband, I love him very much, but he gets so concerned about other drivers that he perceives as dangerous and not paying attention that he literally stops paying attention. All he's doing is he is so focused on, he's like, look at that. Look at that car up there. It looks like a Chips episode. What that is, who the hell hauls around a mattress on the top of their Fiat? What? He gets so worried about it that that's all he's looked at. He's missed our exit. He's going 98 trying to keep up with the car. I'm like, he missed his calling in not being a California highway patrolman because it is his sole focus when he is driving is who might make a sketchy lane change without signaling.
I'm and with you, except my husband misses exits because he's telling me the importance of gerrymandering. Like, I'm like, so I don't, he's like, oh, the electoral college is so screwed up. We should, I'm like,
but he's not wrong. He's not
you've
wrong.
You've just added 30 minutes to our drive because you've been talking so much to yourself that I just happened to be in the car with you. This is what our marriage counselor said to us. He's like talking to us about how to communicate. By the way, I would like to just tell you this. Why be in the right lane?
No, 1,000%.
People are merging.
Kristen, I'll tell you this. Every time I'm in the right lane, I go, do I have a reason to be here? Because I know now that other people think about this thing that I don't. The only reason I would ever be in the right lane, because it's the slow lane, I like the fast lane, is if I see like up ahead, I'm going to be able to pass more easily. But still, I don't want to make it hard for people merging. I don't want to do that. That's not who I am.
But Colin's like, It just tells you about his personality, which is, I feel like sometimes a little bit what I have to deal with, which is like, hey, I've got these very strong ideals and these very strong values, except for when it's inconvenient. And I'm like, but
That's so American.
Why philosophically? Why be in the right lane when you know people just need to merge and maybe they're taking driver's ed or maybe they're not paying attention? You're putting yourself in so much unnecessary harm in the merge lane. Go to the left, get in the fast lane, get invested in life, go to the fucking left, man.
Well, that's what sucks about marriage is you will like let go of a logical way that you've been doing something your whole life if it suits the other person.
You say you will, because I don't know. Because I hold on to those things. When you pop off the top of a bottle of beer, where do you think that top goes? It goes on the floor. So if you put a bottle top popper near the garage fridge and you pop a bottle of beer, have a container underneath that bottle popper. So the bottle of beer top goes in that, but not my husband. He's like, let that shit fly. Let's let it go all over the garage floor. That's the shit I'm dealing with.
Okay, I was so scared that was an analogy that your marriage counselor gave you. And I was like, you have got to stop wasting the money on this guy.
He's awesome. He's awesome. He's so awesome. And you know me. I'm like somebody that's like, I'm doing this thing I didn't know I'd like. So now I'm into it. So you should go to him. So now I've got all these friends that are going to him. And then I say to him, how are things going? And he's like, I can't talk about that. And I'm like,
come on, give me some juicy details. Kristen, what I'm scared, I don't want this to be the takeaway, because I think you and Colin are doing a great job despite the quarantine. I don't want a 97 RAV4 to be what reminiscent of your divorce. I want you guys to power through.
That's where you're wrong. And I want to solve put your worries at rest. It's not a 97, it's a 2007.
Oh, thank God. That really does change things in my head. I want to change MFR.
And by the way, I don't want you to worry that the 2007 has gone away and therefore our marriage is different, because the 2007 is sitting in our fucking driveway. Yeah. Because he didn't get a big enough trade on it. So I would just like to know, how are we going to test drive in quarantine? It doesn't matter. The truth is, and this is as vulnerable as I'll get right now, is that my husband works his bananas off and he deserved and needs a new car. Mm. And I'm so happy that he has this new truck. It's a weird thing. You know how it is, Jen. Like in Nebraska, like trucks are like such a part of our DNA. It really is. It's like
everybody's got a different, unique truck.
Everybody's got a truck. Even when you're living in a city, like it's you're 30 minutes from a drive to a farm. So like, you know what that life is like. And also if you're celebrating the Huskers and you're in a parking lot and you pull that tailgate down and you're like, it's such an incredibly wonderful memory. Like every time that tailgate goes down, I'm thinking of my dad. I'm thinking of Husker games. I'm thinking of living in Nebraska. I'm thinking of like summer nights. And like, it's such a wonderful thing. It's not about the car. It's about my husband, and he deserves it and he's worth it. And
I'm really happy that he got it, because he does deserve it. And look, it was a better decision than a leather blazer.
Thank you. And we're going to bang in it. We haven't yet.
I know you will. And I'm surprised you haven't.
So it's fine. But if I end up knocked up, Jen, I'm going to punch you in the throat. I'm going to need someone to like blame. Because you know what? Like it defies physics. So,
I need to know, does that have a rear slider? And like, is it a quad cab or is it extended? Because I need to know where Colin's legs are to picture this appropriately.
If you know all those answers, we are too close.
Yeah.
We never banged in the RAV4, by the way, in the RAV4, because we're decent people.
Yeah. I can't.
I'm not doing that now either, sir. Thank you.
You know what? Send it off in style, Kristen.
I'm not doing that. That RAV4 deserves better. That Mini Cooper now belongs to some 20-year-old at UCLA. God love you, but the RAV4,
somebody is
she's been a
banging car, the so. Wheels off that car right now.
All right. So I think, Jen, I think we're at the end of our podcast.
I know. We're going to do a whole lot more of these every single week.
It's going to be great. And I'm so excited. I wish you were sitting next to me, but if
I know we will soon.
If that can't be the deal, then I'm happy this is happening at all. You can find us on all of the places that podcasts are available, and also on YouTube and on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram at @imomsohardpodcast. There's no way to not find us as long as you search us.
If you look up My Mom So Hard, we're everywhere.
We're everywhere. Not Mom So Hard.
We are the herpes of station wagons.
We are the herpes of social media.
What? Not Mom So Hard. It's I Mom So Hard.
#I Mom So Hard.
Mom So Hard. Good night.